Well, good evening all. Good to see you back this evening. And I hope you're current on your daily Bible reading. On August 31st of the year 1816, Alexander Campbell preached a sermon that was titled Sermon on the Law to the Redstone Baptist Association in Pennsylvania. And it infuriated them so much that he came within two votes of being convicted of heresy by that association. What in the world did he preach that they would call it heresy? He preached that we're under the New Testament and not under the Old Testament. And what he actually said was that under the Old Testament, the law was the law. There was no moral law, judicial law, and ceremonial law. There was just law. And by contrast, we're under the gospel, and we do not obey Old Testament laws. You know, Old Testament laws like a clergy-laity division. There are clergymen, and then there are the laity. And we don't obey Old Testament laws like tithing. You give 10% without fail of everything that you get. And we're not under Old Testament commands to use instruments of music in worship. We're supposed to worship according to the New Testament. Well, that is all true, and Campbell made a lot of people think with what he said and realize he's exactly right. We are under the new covenant in Christ and not under the Old Testament and all the things that it had to deal with. The thing is about that, although that is true, it has kind of led us sometimes to disregard the Old Testament as irrelevant to us. We really don't need the Old Testament because we go by the New Testament. Okay, it is true that we go by the New Testament, but that does not make the Old Testament worthless to us or irrelevant. I bring it up because in our daily Bible reading this past week, we've read Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. It's the Ten Commandments. You better go to it because we're going to look at the Ten Commandments tonight. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Now, some people look at these and they say, well, they're really interesting, and they carve them on a lot of stone monuments. You can see them around courthouses and in other places like that. But they're really just not relevant to us. But I would say these things are moral bedrock. You can't get any more foundational than these things. And they matter to us even if they don't describe our covenant with God through Jesus Christ. They are moral bedrock. And we need to pay attention to what's being said here. I want you to go ahead and look at Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 17 a little bit at a time. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Now we're going to stop right there and just point out, the commandments reveal God to us, and these first three particularly reveal God to us. They tell us about who He is. He is the one living God. Literally, He says, no other gods before my face. I don't want other gods in my face. And the thing about that is, He's not saying, now, you guys just kind of keep it under wraps and don't get caught. All right? He's saying, don't do it. Don't do it at all. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to hear about it. He is exclusive. God is exclusive. He tolerates no other ideas about God. There is one God. And that is all. Count them, one. There is one God. And He is Spirit. And what that means is He can't be represented. You can't make an idol, stand it up and say, that's what God is like. You can't do that. He is Spirit. You know, after the Ten Commandments were given and after the people of Israel said, we will obey everything the Lord our God says, Moses went back up to get the rest of the law and they made a golden calf down below. Why did they choose a calf? What's that about? Well, it's a symbol of power. They didn't really think that God looked like a calf. But in that world, that was a symbol of tremendous power, and God is a God of power, and they wanted something in front of them that they could see that would remind them that God is a God of power. The problem is, that's not all there is to know about God. And he was furious with them for making an idol. The best description of God, I suppose, is he is the Word. He is the Word. When he speaks, things happen. He is an idea. He is the Word. He's the One. He is Spirit, and he's holy. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. A lot of people realize that the Israelites lost the knowledge of the name of God. They stopped pronouncing the name of God and forgot how it was pronounced. Well, that's sort of true, but what you need to remember about that is that we know for sure that up until about the year 600, that's A.D. 600, the Jewish rabbis still did pronounce the name of God, and they knew exactly how it was supposed to sound. It was only after about A.D. 600 that the knowledge of the pronunciation of God's name was lost. Before that time, and during the time of the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they came to write the name of God, they would use those same four letters, but they wouldn't write what's called square script, the nice proportional Hebrew script. They used what was called Paleo Hebrew, very, very old. And you don't have to know anything about Hebrew to look at that and say, that is different from everything else there. They had great respect for the name of God, but they forgot how to pronounce the name of God. The reason they forgot how to pronounce the name of God was they were so scared of misusing His name, to take it in vain, that they didn't take it at all. To take God's name in vain, to misuse the name of the Lord, certainly it includes profanity, but it also includes lying oaths, like we talked about in Bible class this morning. And it's also possible for people to call on the name of the Lord without real submission to Him. Call on the name of the Lord means to worship. That would be misusing the name of God. And all these qualities are still true of God. He's still the One. He still is Spirit and cannot be represented by any idol. And His name is holy. These are bedrock statements. And there are bedrock morals in here too. And I want to skip down to verse 13 with it, if you'll go down to verse 13 with me. We'll come back. Don't worry. Verse 13, he says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Just one right after another. Four quick verses. Four quick things to say. Murder's always wrong. We don't really have a problem with that. Nobody really objects to that. It's always been designated as a very special crime. So special that there's no statute of limitations in our law system on the crime of murder. Doesn't matter when you did it, you can still be tried for it. Why is murder so special? It's so special because we're created in the image of God. That's what God said back in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6 when Noah got off the ark. He said, man's life is substantially different. He'll require an accounting for every man's life because in the image of God we're made. This commandment isn't about the death penalty. It's about killing. Killing is not a light thing. The next commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. In Hebrew, that's two words. Two words. No adultery. You can't turn away from it. You can't try to avoid it. No adultery. End of story. No adultery. That's it. No. Not possible. I don't know if you're aware of it, but they're going to play a football game tonight called the Super Bowl. Are you aware of that? You ever heard anything about that? Okay. A lot of people watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. They're really interested in the commercials. Did you know that there are certain commercials that they will not air on television? I saw a story on the web about commercials they would not air. They would not buy, they would not sell the advertising time for this. And this sounds like a prank, but I promise you it is a real company offering a real service for sale and they wanted to buy advertising time during the Super Bowl. It is an adultery service. It is a service to commit adultery. They will make your hotel reservations for you. They'll make whatever reservations and bookings you need. They'll shelter your name and your credit card number so that your spouse won't find out about it. This is what it's come to in the United States of America. We have a business now facilitating adultery. That is not a prank, folks. It's the real deal. And I'm just amazed that the network said, you know, there are some things we won't sell. I thought sure that they would. Adultery is the deepest betrayal of all. It is not a light thing. It's recoverable. Make no mistake, it is recoverable. And there are a lot of fine people who have recovered from that. No adultery. No stealing. You shall not steal. Stealing is very, very common in the world. It's so common, in fact, it's nearly unconscious. I don't even notice anymore. I have a book on my shelf about the Ten Commandments. In fact, I have a couple of books. One book was written in 1954. It's on the Ten Commandments. Another book was written in 1992, I think. It's about the Ten Commandments. When they get to the commandment on honoring your father and mother, the book written in 1992 stole the first half of the chapter out of the book that was written in 1954. It was a wholesale lifting of that material. I just thought that was kind of interesting. He's writing a book on the Ten Commandments and stole half a chapter out of another book to write on the Ten Commandments. That's just kind of amazing to me. I don't know if he did it unconsciously or if he thought this is just too good to pass up. But he did it. Theft ruins the social fabric. Everything depends on trust. And that's what lying is about, too. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And all of our society operates on trust. You think about this. You're driving down the road. You stay on the right side of the road, and you trust that guy coming toward you is going to do the same thing. He's going to stay on the right side of the road, and you're going to pass each other, not run headlong into each other. All society is based on trust. The commandment says you don't lie, you don't deceive, you don't mislead, you don't conceal. You don't do anything that is going to leave a false impression in somebody else's mind, however it might be construed. You do not lie. This is based on what you know. It's not based on a mistake. You can make a mistake and say something that turns out not to be true because you were misinformed or you didn't have all the information. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a deliberate lie, whether you overtly state it or whether you conceal something that you know in order to leave a false impression. C.S. Lewis wrote a book. In the book, he was talking about natural law, that there are some things that are just naturally right and wrong. All societies do these things. No murder, no adultery, no theft, no lying. All societies, whether they acknowledge God or not, all societies hold those four things somehow sacred. But the commandments go further than that. The commandments reveal God, true. They also state right and wrong, but they also call for right attitudes. Now let's go back up and pick up a couple of things that we laid aside for a minute. I want to look at verses 8 through 12, and then we're going to skip down to verse 17. In verse 8, he says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And you skip down to verse 17, he finishes up by saying, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house." You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are all about attitudes. First one is honor your parents. Honor your parents. You've got to remember, this is a commandment spoken to adults. This commandment is usually pointed at children, say, ah, you're supposed to honor your parents. No, wait a minute. We're talking about adults. This commandment came to adults. You're supposed to honor your parents. It preserves honor for God. And this really goes to the heart of us. It's about honoring God, honoring our parents. Then he talks about keeping the Sabbath. Okay, that command is not binding on the New Testament Christians. Certainly that's true. However, there is a principle at stake here. And the principle is a principle of rest. You know, there are cycles of life. There are cycles of activity, and there are cycles of rest. And we need to honor those cycles. This is protection for the powerless and for the clueless. You have powerless people like aliens and manservant, maidservant, animals. They're powerless. But then there are people who want to work every day of their lives because they're completely clueless about how life is. Our point is to follow God's pattern and not Pharaoh's pattern. There's a commentary writer named Jansen was talking about this in Exodus. He said the problem is that in Egypt, the people of Israel followed Pharaoh's dictates. They never got a day off. That was his pattern. Work them to death if that's what it takes. Work them every day. Bricks without straw. But God says you follow this pattern. You don't follow Pharaoh's pattern. There are cycles of life. There's some advantage to taking a day off. And finally, he says, you shall not covet. Coveting is to crave what is off limits to us. It's not ours, not supposed to be ours. And this is incomprehensible to us today. Don't covet? Are you kidding me? Our whole society is built on coveting, isn't it? I mean, what are those Super Bowl commercials about? It's about leading you to covet something that you don't have. Not just desire it, but desire what's not yours and shouldn't be yours. The craving of the heart leads to all kinds of crimes. And you just go through the rest of the Old Testament and you read it over and over and over again. Ahab coveted his neighbor's vineyard and murdered his neighbor for it. David coveted Bathsheba and had her husband killed for it. This covetousness leads to all kinds of crime. There's widespread misconception that the Old Testament didn't deal with the heart, but only with the actions. That's just not true. Actually, there's a great deal about the right attitudes of the heart in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, love your neighbor as yourself. Where'd that come from? I thought that was New Testament. Yeah, Jesus said that. But that's a quote from Leviticus 19, 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, they knew nothing of Him. They didn't know Him. Oh, they had some old semi-legendary stories about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, but they didn't know God. They had no law. They had no covenant with God. God brought them out of Egypt and brought them to Sinai and revealed to them His heart and His mind. And this is the centerpiece of it. The Ten Commandments furnish the moral bedrock for all of Western civilization, including our system of justice and our whole culture. It's all based on these Ten Commandments. They're relevant to us because they teach us about God. They teach us about the God who redeemed us in Jesus Christ. When Jesus talked about my Father and your Father, this is the God He's talking about. This is the Father under discussion. It's time for us to call on His name. But not do it in vain. If we're going to call on His name, we need to be perfectly sincere and honest about it. And if we're going to make a covenant with God, we need to be true to it. The new covenant in Christ's blood is very explicit. How do you become a Christian? How do you get into a covenant relationship with God? By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing His name before men, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and raised then to walk in newness of life. Then you are in a right relationship with God. you're not a Christian, you can do that this evening. If you are a Christian, you've made the covenant with God in the past, but you really haven't done His will and haven't paid much attention to His will. You must not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You must be truthful. You need to repent, bottom line, and come back to Him. If you need to respond to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now while we stand and sing the song.